Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Lord, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, church, we have had a couple of days. It has been something. All the pastors on staff went down to a minister's meeting on Monday, and we were there, and that's just a trying time. We took care of some business there, and all the Church of God in the state of Florida. And then I drove home that night, and was getting ready for Tuesday's funeral. We laid to rest the young man who was shot in Largo. Nicholas Weedman Lowry. And then today, we laid to rest Joseph Hampton Waddington. Nicholas was 29, was killed from a gunshot, and Joseph Waddington was 52, died from, still not sure, they believe, congestive heart failure. And, you know, when you have men young as these guys who pass away, it gets a hold of you, right? Especially when you're as young as I am. Amen. We also have had, today, Sister Pat Kenny's brother passed away. And then just a couple of days ago, I think it was it Friday? I'm looking for Friday. Ruth and Sarah, Ruth Weatherford and Sarah Savelle's dad passed away. Monday he passed away. Just 2 weeks ago, we laid to rest Brother Lee. I mean, it's just been a month. Let me say to all of you, thank you for just showing up, helping these families, loving on these families, serving from the ushers and greeters to each funeral to the servers, and some of them were pulling double duty, serving in the back, making food, cooking food. All that you've done, thank you so much. Tuesday we had folks working at El Shaddai, got through there, ran over because we were short, and ran over and jumped in here, and just thank each one of you for all that you do, you know, because that really does show people that you love. You know, there's some people who are not going to appreciate it, and that's in anything you do, but you don't do it for them. You do it as unto the Lord. Amen. You do it as unto the Lord. And so let me just say thank you so much, church. You really blessed me by blessing those families and by showing up and ministering to their family. You know, that's why I'm dressed this way. I don't normally wear a tie on Wednesday. But I figured, well, Brother Cash would have one on, so I'm not going to let him outdress me. And by jingles, if we didn't come in and he was had his off. So that's all right. When you have people, family members, whether they be close or not, that pass away, many times you don't know what to do. There's not much you can do. As someone who's lost, three family members in the last 2 years, there's not much you can do that can say, I love you. There's not much you can do that says, I'm here for you. But I don't know, there's just something about cooking a meal, cooking a dish or something, coming and serving and making people feel comfortable. I had multiple people both days say, Pastor, you guys just really were very hospitable to us, and thank you so much. And I would say we've got a great group of people. And so thank you so much for your work. Thank you for your serving. Because it is a labor of love. It is a labor of love. You know, the bright lights don't go off when you're cleaning the kitchen. Right? I mean, the world doesn't applaud when you take the garbage out from one of those days. But I want you to know that the world might not, but heaven does. Pastor, do you really believe that? I really believe that. You see, for whatever reason, and this is not even on the message I'm going to preach, but for whatever reason, we think that all of the glory comes from being up on stage. But it's not. It's not. I mean, as a matter of fact, I think that sometimes we get our reward when you clap and do things like that. But the real reward from heaven comes when nobody sees your labor but God. And you do it as unto the Lord. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much. You're a great church. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about me right now. That's right, he's talking about me. I'm all that, a bag of chips and some government cheese. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's me. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Now, if you don't ever do anything for the Lord, just know I'm not talking to you. You know who you are. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm a little tired. So whatever I say tonight cannot be held against me. Hallelujah. Go with me in your Bibles. It is a quarter till 7 or 8. My plan is not to keep you very long. Just want you to know that Sunday night, Brother Steve got up and said, I don't plan on holding you long. Nobody laughed. I get up and go, I don't plan on holding you long. I get snickered. There's a way to change that, huh? Who said that? I figured it was Don. I got your number. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1. I want to talk to you tonight about crossing Jordan. Crossing Jordan. Joshua chapter 1 is in the Old Testament. When you get there, say amen. It's on page 190 if you have a Bible exactly like mine. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1. Here's what the Bible says beginning in verse number 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And I love this part. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given it to you, as I said to Moses. Now, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to preach all over the first probably 1, 2, 3, maybe even 4, probably about the third chapter of Joshua. But I don't want to read the whole chapter because we would be here for a while and I would not be able to not hold you long. I'd have to read all that. So I want you to read it later, not while I'm preaching. But just go with me if you will. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, I thank you for a wonderful, loving church. Now, God, I pray that you would just help us to be the church you've called us to be. God, help us to be the people you've called us to be. Lord, we don't think higher than ourselves than we ought to, but Lord, we want to live up to what you want us to live, how you want us to live. And I pray today, God, that if there are people that are not crossed Jordan yet, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just give me the words to say. Give me the thoughts, God, that I may speak a word in due season to them that are weary. In your name I pray. And the church said, amen. Crossing Jordan. Moses had died, and Joshua is in charge. Now, I don't know about you, man, but that would be some hard shoes to fill. If you had to come, if you were the assistant to Moses, Moses took two handfuls of ashes, threw them up in the air, and they covered Israel, or they covered all of Egypt and afflicted the Egyptian army with boils. That's hard to follow. Moses stretched out his rod over the Red Sea and it parted. That's a hard act to follow. Moses walked into town and after several plagues, Pharaoh let Israel walk free, and not only walked free, but paid them to leave. Because they said, go and get all the gold, go borrow all the gold. And their master was like, hey man, you mind if I have this gold bar? Sure. Knock yourself out. Hey, can I have the silverware? Sure. And so they, I mean, you're talking about you're going to follow Moses. But here's what God said. God reminded him. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And then he says, now therefore, I want you to do something. He wanted to establish something with Joshua, that you cannot rely on the relationship that I had with Moses. You've got to rely on the relationship that I'm going to have with you. And I love what God said. He went on to say in chapter 1, 2, and 3. He went on to go, he said, but be of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. The same that I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And I want you to get the picture in your mind of the person that you admire the most in the faith. I have several people that I admire greatly in the faith. And I want you to know that the same God that is with that person that you got on your mind right now is the same God that will do what God did in them, He will do in you. So be strong and of good courage. So He told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. They're at a critical point though. They have been here before. This is where you either break down or break through. How many know what I'm talking about? That you get to that place and you make a decision, either I'm going to step over or I'm going to stay on this side. I'm either going to break through or I'm going to break down. And God wants you to break through. He didn't bring you to this point for you to go backwards. He brought you to this point for you to overcome. He brought you to this point so that you could go over, not go under. He brought you to this point so that you could break through, not break down. This is where you decide whether or not if the dream is worth it. You know, I've had people tell me all this sometimes. They go, oh, you know, preacher, you get up there and preach. I can do what you do. It's not a matter if you're willing or if you can do what I do. Are you willing to do what I've done? And I love these people who come to business owners and go, oh, well, I could have done that. Well, why don't you do that? You know, oh, yeah, well, you got it easy. Well, it ain't always been that way. You know, I know that when I'm going to pick on Dave for a minute because he told me before service, I have to go to Gainesville tomorrow to play golf. I have to. Now, Dave's retired. He's been retired for a little while. But I remember when Dave worked hard 4 hours a day. Right. That's what I'm saying. See, I remember when he worked. He would, wouldn't you? For 5 days a week, he would work 8 to 12. But nobody remembered when he worked 13, 14, 15, 16 hours. Right? See, there's a time that you got to put in your time so that you can enjoy the latter time. Most people want to enjoy the time up front, but you don't ever get there because you're not willing to put in the time up front. And some of us want God just to show up and happy birthday because what my name is and who I know or where I go to church and want you just to do it. But God says, no, no, no. You got to be willing to put the time in. You got to be willing to put the prayer in. You got to be willing to put the sacrifice in. You got to be willing to do some things that maybe other people wouldn't do. And then after all of that, if you've been faithful over the little things, I will make you ruler over many. Hallelujah. You know, I had people when our church began to grow and I've had pastors go, man, you're never going to leave Crystal River. Look at all what they have. Woo, the spirit of slap come on me. Woo. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Where was you at with the first year when our total budget was $25,000 for the whole year? Where were you at? You know, where were you at when I was out digging the ditches for the septic system? Where was you at then? Nobody remembers those things. What you got to remember is not everybody that wound up where they are had to start somewhere. And most people who wind up somewhere significant didn't get there by accident. Good preaching. It's one thing to dream. It's another thing to take possession of the dream. There are plenty of dreamers. Anybody know people like this? Don't point at them if they're here. But they're always talking about what they're going to do. They're always talking about, oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, my Lord. And then they can bring it to you and they can talk about it and you're like, wow, that sounds incredible. But they never get out of first gear. Because it's not about what you're going to do, it's about what you've done, what you're doing. Every dreamer will come to this place. It's here where the dreamers either go over or go under. It's a place called Jordan. God had given the Israelites a dream of a land that flows with milk and honey. They were there one time before, and the 12 spies were sent out, but only two brought back a good report, and they wasn't able to go over. They wasn't able to break through. They broke down. Jordan equals the descender. Jordan means death. Jordan means the end. An entire generation had died at this very same place. Now, no, they didn't really die right here, but they died 40 years before when they quit dreaming. They came to this place, and when the 12 or when the 10 brought back a bad report, when the 10 brought back the a bad report, their dreams were dashed on the rocks of life. They were dashed on the rocks of their words. They were dashed on what they saw and not what God said. And therefore, they had been here before, and at that point in that time, they died. It took 40 years for them to physically die off. They were dead for 40 years without knowing it. I wonder how many dead 40-year-old Christians do we have in the house? I wonder how many have you died because of what people have said and what you saw instead of what God's Word said and what God instituted in your life, what He spoke to you in your heart. But because of what you saw or because of what you did or because of what somebody said, you've allowed that dream to die. You died there at Jordan. You died. You're physically alive, but you're dead. I know plenty of churches who once were alive. And they still have service, but there's no growth. There's no passion. There's nothing there because they went to Jordan and they listened and they heard and they saw what was in the physical, but didn't hear and see what was in the spiritual. Every dreamer will come to this place. Here there are only two choices. Cross over into the promise or settle down on this side of Jordan until you physically die. Cross over. Or settle down. Which one's it going to be? I know for me, I want to cross over. I want to cross over. I don't want to just settle. I don't want to live for settling. We were at a conference and I heard this lady say, and it's so true, and some of you women need to hear me, especially if you're not married. You know, so you start out, especially when you first get saved, you're believing God. God, I just want the right man of God. Lord, I want that man to be this and I want him to be that. And oh, Holy Spirit, you bring the right man my way. Yeah! But then you're saved for a few years and your prayer changes. Lord, I just want a good man. Lord, it ain't got to be the perfect man. God, I just want a good man, Lord. Lord, just bring a good man my way. A few years go on, you still ain't married. Next thing, your prayer changes. God, I just need a breathing man. That's all I need, God. Is Lord, just let him be a breathing man. Lord, just if I put a mirror under his nose, let it fog the mirror up, God. Let it just be a breathing man. And then you get even worse, and you go, God, I don't even care if he's a good man. God, I don't care. Just give me somebody. And you begin to settle for less than what God said you can have. Woo! You know, and listen, ladies. Now, I know I didn't want to go and get on this, but listen to me, ladies. I get tired of hearing women go, well, there aren't any good men. Maybe because there ain't no good women. Shake your head like you got some weed with it. Come on. I promise you that if you, ladies, listen to me, if you raise your standard, the men will raise their standard to match it. Uh-huh. How do you know? Listen, because men want what you got. They want what you got, and as long as you cheapen it, you will be treated as cheapened. Listen, you know, I ain't gonna say who I was with today. But we was at the funeral and we were going down to the gravesite and you know, and we sit there and my wife, we were getting in her car and she was standing at the door. And there was somebody else with us and they said, oh, I hadn't been trained good yet. Cause he didn't get the door, you know, cause I walked around and get the door. Well, listen, ladies, it ain't because I'm all that. Sometimes I forget, but my wife don't. All it takes, ladies, is for your husband to be in the car a couple of times and you still standing at the door. See, some of y'all ladies will say, well, I'm scared he'll leave me. Mm-hmm. Boy, I could say something right there. I'm looking at my wife. She's saying, don't say it. Go on. All right. I'm going to tell Steve, y'all come to married life, and he going to tell it. All right. So we've got to get to the point that we quit settling for less. You know, and men are the same way. You know, we men, they get the same way where they just want a woman. Don't matter, Lord, Jesus, I want a 10. Lord, I want a 10. Then you go a little bit longer, Lord, I settle for an 8. Lord, a 6, 4, 3, 2, 1, a 0, whatever, God, just give me one. Give me somebody. I want some warmth in my bed. Come on, somebody. All right. So we got to understand. Jordan is a place that God ordained. Jordan is a place that that is ordained by God. It's God ordained for you to go to Jordan. Because at Jordan, you got to make some decisions. At Jordan, you got to make some decisions about your life. It is a place of impossibility. It is a place of weakness. It is a place of helplessness. It is a place where all self-effort dies. It's where we come face to face with all of our carnal selves. Is this me or is this God? If it's you, let it die. But if it's God, then hold on. You may face your Jordan during a time of sickness or a time of great financial difficulty. You might face your Jordan during a family turmoil. God is not the author of sickness. He's not the author of disease. He's not the author of poverty. He's not the author of hardship. But as we face these things, we come to the end of ourself and go, God, whatever. See, sometimes some of us have to kind of hit a hard spot for God to get us our attention. Are you thinking you can do it on your own? All right. Let me take my hands off of it. Let me take my hands off of it and see if you can do it on your own. And you know what? You might can do it for a little while, but there's going to come a time that you're going to have to cry out unto God and say, God, I'm here at Jordan and I can't cross Jordan without you. So Jordan is a dividing line. It's the place where we're forced to decide, what are we going to do? Trust in the living God or not? What are we going to do? I'm going to trust in the Lord. We're going to trust in the Lord. Are we going to trust in the arm of flesh? Or are we going to trust in the self-effort? Or are we going to trust God? Jacob wrestled with God all night. He wrestled with the angel of the Lord, the Bible says. And during the wrestling, Jacob came face to face with his carnal self. He was forced to face himself. And you know what he saw? Here's what he saw. He saw a deceiver. He saw a supplanter. He saw a manipulator. He saw a usurper. He saw himself like he really was. You ever seen folks who what they see in themselves is not what other people see? You know, usually it's the bad. You know, we sometimes, you know, we have a real bad self-esteem. That's not of God. Oh, I'm ugly. And you know, and that has nothing to do with it. But sometimes we see ourselves as this godly Christian. Oh, we're so holy. We're so holy. And then when we pass away, you got to be screwed in the ground because you're so crooked. You ever been? We just finished a couple of funerals, and you know, I didn't know the young boy good, but I knew the last one really good. You ever been to a funeral, and when you got through, you wanted to come up and check who was in the casket because that ain't the person you knew? You're like, who is he talking about? I don't want that to be me. I don't want to have this image of me that is not truth. Jacob wrestled all night with God. Jacob cried out to the deliverer from the power of self-life. He said, I won't let you go till you bless me. Don't leave me. Here's what he was saying. Don't leave me like this. I don't want to live like this anymore. I'm sick of my carnal self. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord touched him, smote him in the thigh, and in the sinew or muscle of his self-life dried up. This was a Jordan to Jacob. Well, then we've got to ask this question then, Pastor. What does it take to cross Jordan? What does it take to get across it? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Very few. Very, just real quickly, I'm going to give you four or five things. Number one, something we don't talk a lot about. It takes sanctification. Sanctification. Mildred, I'm not even sure what that means. Is there a Mildred in here? If it is, I apologize. But Don told me to use that name. Sanctify. Here's what Jacob, that's who it was. Joshua said to the children of Israel when they were getting ready to cross Jordan in chapter 3. He said, sanctify yourself today, for tomorrow we're going to cross Jordan. He said, get ready today for what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm going to say it one more time. Get ready today for what's going to happen tomorrow. But most of us want to see what tomorrow holds before we get ready for it. But God said that's out of order. You've got to be ready before He shows it to you so that it won't scare you when He shows it to you. You got to be ready before He shows it to you, so you don't think when you get there that it was all you. It was God that did it through you. Sanctify yourself. Anything that would offend the Spirit of God in our life can keep us from crossing Jordan. Well, Pastor, you really didn't answer what sanctification means. Sanctification means set apart. Sanctified means set apart. You're not, that God sanctifies you for purpose and service. That you're not normal. Bump your neighbor's seat and say, see, I told you. So many have started across Jordan, but because of some ordinate affection or some hidden sin or some secret self-love, they have come up short and were swallowed up by the waves of despair, the waves of guilt, the waves of condemnation. They're swallowed up by it. But we got to sanctify ourselves today for tomorrow. Here, what's sanctification? Circumcise the children of Israel again. That's what they did. Circumcise the children of Israel again. Cut away the flesh from around your heart. Cut away what you want and see what God wants. Cut away your flesh. The application for us, we must circumcise ourselves as often as needed. We must never reach the place of believing that we have conquered once and for all self. You know, we go down to the altar one time. Well, Pastor, I don't know why you keep having altar calls. We went once. Man, I'm telling you right now, we need to go often. Matter of fact, honestly, we need to go daily. We probably need to go more than daily. You know? I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Man, you work and live with people. There's sometimes you just got to go to the, listen. Woo, the Bible said confession is good for the soul. Today, you know, I worked a pretty long time yesterday and stressed and I didn't get much sleep. Only got a few hours of sleep last night and come in here today and funerals bring out the best and the worst in people. And I had people just, you know, come up here gnawing on my ear, well, we want this, blah, 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 blah. And they was not the people that I'm listening to. I'm listening to the spouse of the one who passed away. And they were, blah, 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 you need to do this. I said, I will cut you. I will cut you long, hard, and deep. I'm not even Puerto Rican, but I will cut you. Come on, Mary. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And I felt that today, man. I thought, man, I need to go repent because I'm about ready to slap somebody. You know, Steve knows, they jumped on Steve first. Steve come back there to me, you know. Steve, he's kind of new at this. He goes, hey, Pastor, I got people out here telling me that they're going to do this, that, and the other. I said, I'll handle it. By jingles, I'll handle it. And we were up there and they go, they want that out there right now. I said, we ain't doing nothing unless we hear it from the woman. Well, my sister, I don't care who said what. They are not in charge. Woo. I said, Lord Jesus, help me not to hit somebody, Lord Jesus. Now, my flesh, I want to cut long and deep. But I cast off the spirit of Don. Told you I was going to get you. And put on the spirit of Christ. And didn't cut nobody. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. How much of God's power do we forfeit when we allow ourselves to become cluttered with the things of the flesh? How much do we forfeit? It's clear that the shortage and the failure is not on God's part. It's on ours. That's whose part it is. We got to clear the way. We got to open the channel. We got to sanctify ourselves. As a matter of fact, I need to talk to David a little bit later on. Because I got a gutter I cannot get clean. I got a downspout. And man, there's something stopping it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever had one of them? Now, I've cleaned out the upper gutters and it just flows. But there's something clogged up in the bottom of it. There's a bunch of stuff clogged up in the bottom of it. Huh? Raccoon or possum, one of the two. I'm just going to start firing down in there, see if I can get it. Force it out. But there's something that's keeping the flow from going down. And let me ask you the question, what in your life that is keeping the flow? What in your life is stopping the flow of God flowing in your life? What in your life? What physical, what sin, what carnal, what attitude, what position, what attitude is keeping the flow of God out of your life? Because if God is not flowing, you've got to ask yourself that question. What's keeping it? What's keeping it? And usually it's not something obvious to everybody else. You know, I was talking with a guy not too long ago and he said to me, and he said, you know, we were talking, he had a lot of fear in his life. And I said, you know, where is all this fear coming from? And we were talking. And then he went on and here's what he said. He said, well, I'll tell you, Pastor, I just don't ever read the Bible. And you wonder what's stopping the flow of peace coming to your life is because you're not filled up in the Word. You know, but here's what we do. It's like vitamins. You ever missed your vitamin regimen for 3 or 4 days and decided, oh, I better catch up and take 3 or 4 days worth of vitamins at the same time? All I'm going to say is don't get too far from the bathroom. Yes, sir. Make sure you got some soft Charmin. Once again, not that I've done that, but I've talked to Don. You want me to keep on Don? Get me one more time. But that's what we try to do with the word. Oh, well, bless God. You know, wait a minute. I'm having a hard time. Let me see. Where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? All right, let me get it out. Let me get the Sports Illustrated swim model off of it. Let me get the National Enquirer off of it because that's real good reading. And then we like read for 8 hours. And you wonder why it don't do no good. It's so true, isn't it? I mean, man, you know, because when we start having trouble, oh Jesus, let me find something in the Bible. And you don't know nothing about the Bible. You can name every player on the Bucks roster, but you can't name one disciple. Ooh, I got to move on to number two. Come on, Steve, help me here. I got myself in trouble. I told you I'm tired. We must have a vision of something greater. No one will let go of what they have unless they are caught a vision of something greater. Now here's a principle I've been preaching for many years. You will never leave where you are until you see a place you would rather be. You will never leave where you are till you see a place you would rather be. No one will let go of it until you find something better. Moses had a vision of something greater. Joshua had a vision of something greater. You know why some marriages don't flourish? Because they don't have a vision of something better than what they've got. Moses had a vision of something greater. Joshua had a vision of something greater. Joseph had a vision of something greater. Jesus had a vision of something greater. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He went through the cross because he saw something on the other side. He saw something beyond the cross, and it was you and me. Number three. We're talking about what does it take? What does it take to get across Jordan? Sanctification. It takes having a vision of something greater. Number three, total dependence upon God. Total dependence upon God. This is where we're holding on to the ark. The ark is the presence of God. Now, for those of you who don't know the story, they sanctified themselves, and then Joshua said, all right, priest, bear the ark and go into the river. And so they got the ark on their shoulder and they went in. And you know, it would have been cool if the first step from the first priest, when he stepped, that it parted, but it didn't. Now, if I'm the guy in the front, I'd be looking like, hey, y'all, yo, y'all slow down. I mean, y'all can be all holy if you want to. I'm just being real. I'd be like, hey, don't push. We got to give God time to, whatever gonna happen. Cause right now I'm sinking. It's getting deep. Oh, you can say you know, I look back at the third person on my road. Oh yeah, it's good. It's easy for you to say have faith. You ain't got your feet wet yet. It's easy to have faith when your feet ain't wet yet. But it's another thing when your feet are wet and the waters are coming to your knees and now it's at your waist and the water hasn't receded yet. And Joshua talking about, let's go to the other side. What you want to know is how. The ark, the presence, the power, the glory of God. We know that we can't cross on our own power. It's got to be the power of God. Not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Number four, bare feet. We got to go across on bare feet. Now, what does that got to mean? That means you can't have any agenda. You can't have your own agenda. Lord, I want power so people will see me. God, I want to pray for the sick and they recover so I can have a huge ministry. Bare feet means no personal agenda. Every dream must have at its core, listen to me closely, the glory of God and not the glory of self. Every promotion, it's a selfish in nature. It is not from God. And it will drown in the Jordan if it's not of God. Before God commissioned Moses to bring the people out of bondage, he first ordered him to take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. When Joshua came into the presence of the captain of the host, the Lord, and when they were about to go across in Jericho, the man of God, the God said, take off your shoes. So we got to have some bare feet. Now, I don't want everybody coming to church Sunday without no shoes. It's a figure. I want you to understand. Bare feet means that I do not have an agenda. When Joshua came into the presence, take off your shoes. All right, but now number five, and I've already hit a little bit. We need wet feet. Wet feet. It wasn't until the priest's feet were dipped into the water that the waters began to recede. Nothing happened until they got their feet wet. Did you hear me? Nothing happened until God, or until they got their feet wet. We want God to do it all. You know, I love the story about the farmer when the pastor went by and went, man, look at this wonderful, beautiful farm that God has created. And the farmer said, yeah, but you ought to saw it when God had it by himself. See, God wants you involved in the process. You got to get your feet wet. You got to get some skin in the game. You got to get some skin in the game. Well, you want God to do something, but you ain't doing nothing. God, if you will, I will. No, God said, that's my line. That ain't your line. That's my line. If my people shall humble themselves and pray, and then they will hear from heaven, I will heal their land. If you believe, if you shall show reverence, if you give, if you do this, I will do that. We want to try to flip the script. Well, God, if you'll bless me, I'll serve you. God, if I'll hit the lottery, I'll tithe. You little liar. Then as they walked, the waters fled before them. They had to have enough vision of the promise and enough faith in God to get off the bank of the river and get their feet wet. Got to have a little bit of faith. They walked and the waters fled. Our biggest problem is we want to see the victory before we get into the fight. I think I'll say that again. We want to see the victory before we get into the fight. You can see it, but it's going to be in the spirit. It ain't going to be in the physical. It ain't going to be in the physical. We want to see the end before we ever start, and that is not it. God says, I see the end before you ever start. And I wouldn't have got you into this if I didn't think you could go through it. And I wouldn't have started it if I wasn't able to finish it. So sometimes you gotta walk by faith and not by sight. And sometimes you gotta walk just one step at a time. I know you wish what God would have a spotlight to light your path, but the word of God says his word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. It is not this long beam. It just shows you one step at a time. And as you put one step in front of the other, God begins to come in and the water recedes and you can and will cross Jordan. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Number six, and I think I'm done. We're going to get out 2 minutes early. Trusting God's timing. Trusting God's timing. Waiting on God. It's the hardest thing to do, man. It's the hardest thing to do. Now, I'm not saying waiting for God to finish it, but we got to wait for God to start it. We got to wait for God to give us the word. We got to wait for God to say, go. Sometimes we go, and God didn't say, go. Joshua 3:4 says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, talking about the Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Don't come near to it, that you may know the way by which you must go. You have not passed this way before. You've never been this way before. He said, but give me 2,000 cubits between the ark and you. Give me 2,000 feet. And can I tell you that I'm sure the 2,000 feet probably felt like 100 years. You see the ark going into the water. And then there's a tendency to want to rush the ark and get close to the ark. But God says you got to keep your distance. It's timing. Somebody hear me. You can't just rush in. You can't get out of protocol. You can't get out of order. Just because you see it happen, you can't rush in and get too close. You got to stay back. Stay the distance I told you to stay. Somebody hear me, my God. Stay the distance I told you to stay. God's timing doesn't usually make sense to our natural perspective. God's timing is critical. In God's timing, we have the full measure of God's power working for us. In God's timing, things and people are perfectly positioned. In God's timing. Boy, I'd be the first to tell you that God don't operate on my timing. Because if God operated on my timing, it would happen before I got into the fight. That's the way I like it. I mean, I know there's some adrenaline junkies. Oh, I just like to jump out there and let's see if God's going to do it. Yeah, and when he don't, you fall flat on your face. Who looks like the fool? And then you're going to try to excuse why God didn't do it. Well, God told me to do it, but he was just trying to show me something. He might have told you to do it, but you got ahead of him. It didn't make sense to try and cross the river. Now hear it. It didn't make sense to try to cross the river at flood stage. This season of the year, the Jordan, the Bible says, always floods. You don't hear God going, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't realize that it was flooding. Let me rethink my plan. He said, I don't care what it looks like. Move when I say move. Now, you got to remember this. Jericho is on the other side. Jericho is ripe for conquest. Jericho is ripe for the picking. So God says, move when I say move. Come on, Dennis. God knows when things are in position. To delay would allow Jericho to regain their courage. They already heard that Israel was at the gate of the city, so to speak. And they lost heart. It may not look like the time or feel like the time or even sound like the time, but God knows what the time looks like. Why? Because he has inside information. God knows. So when he says do it, you can be sure that the power will be available to bring it to pass. If we're willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. We will cross Jordan. Well, but Pastor, God told me to do things and I've done it and I've had to fight and I've had to struggle. Well, hey, it's a fight. Now, I ain't got time to preach this. But the Israelites walked up into the Jordan or walked across Jordan. They got to Jericho and they had to walk around the walls of Jericho. And here's what Joshua said. Joshua said, folk, he was Southern, folk, I don't want to hear y'all say now word. Don't open, read it for yourself. It don't say exactly like that, but he says, don't open your mouth. Because the last time we got here, some big mouth opened their mouth and scared everybody. So don't you open your mouth till I tell you to open your mouth. When you open your mouth, you're going to let out a shout. And they walked around Jericho, so. On that seventh day of the seventh time, they shouted and the walls fell down. Well, that's victory. Woo, woo, woo. No, they still had to fight the people inside. Did you hear me? They still had to fight the people. Well, but it wasn't even no fight. That's right, because their heart had done fled from them. Their fight had done fled from them. But it took them not saying a word, just marching.
Not saying, I'm tired of this. I'm so sick of this. We've been marching here. Lord, we've marched for 40 years in the wilderness. Now we got to march around here. What's up with that? And you know what else they had to do? They conquered Jericho. But then there was all the other Amorites, Hittites, Termites, Aldamites, Tadimites. All the mites that they had to fight to possess the promised land. But they did. So you got a promise. You got a promise. You've got a promise. But that doesn't mean you don't have to fight for it. Doesn't mean you don't have to have the timing for it. You got to cross Jordan. Stand to your feet. All right, see, I'm done 1 minute before, so y'all can't hold that against me. So I let y'all out early. Now, whatever the Holy Ghost does, that's on him. I want some spirit life people to come down real quickly. Tonight, if you know that you've got a promise, you know that you maybe you're at your Jordan. You just want someone to believe with you and pray with you that God will illuminate in your spirit what you need. I want you to make that decision tonight. I want you to bow your heads with me. You're here tonight and you would say, Pastor, that's me, man. I know I'm at a Jordan. Come on, slip up your hand. Hands all over this building. I know I'm at a Jordan. I don't know exactly what all that entails, but I know I'm at a Jordan. Now, I know you already put your hand up. I want you to get out of your seat. Come on. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be as though. We need to get it. The Bible said one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. You're at a Jordan. Say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever I need to do. I'm not going to stop. Come on, let's just make some line. We got a couple of folks over here. Come on. Oh, Lord,
whatever you're doing in this season, Lord, do it without me.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.